This morning's public reading from God's Word is coming from 1 Samuel chapter 2 this morning. So take your Bibles if you desire to follow along and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 2, and I'm going to be picking up with verse 18 to verses 26. So we'll be, verses 26, excuse me. 1 Samuel chapter 2, 18 to 26 here this morning. 1 Samuel 2. 18 through 26. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded when a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, "The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord." And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived, and bore three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Now Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they laid with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, "Why do ye such things? For I have heard of all of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my son, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their Lord, because the Lord would slay them." And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Even though this is kind of a short reading, you got to admit there's a whole lot here that we can make comment on. So let's see if we can give it some real justice. Okay, verse 18, we find out that Samuel now, he's been weaned. And now he has been given to Eli. And Eli is going to become his teacher and his mentor. Bear in mind that Samuel will be the last official judge of Israel. Because before the days of Samuel come to an end, Israel is going to have its first two kings. Samuel is going to anoint King Saul, the first king, and then David as a young man. So the reign of the judges ends in the days of Samuel, but then it is transitioned into the monarchy, if you will, with the reign of the kings, starting with King Saul, who was a Benjamite. Okay? So the child ministered and grew before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. And then verses 19. This is beautiful. Notice the love of his mother. She loved this boy. But it was a gift that God gave her. She in turn gave him back to the Lord. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. That yearly sacrifice. I'm going to take a stab in light of our current series. There's a good possibility that this yearly sacrifice probably was the Feast of Tabernacles at the end of the year. We saw all those offerings way back there in that passage in the book of book of Numbers, chapter 29. So probably we're looking at the fall festival, the Feast of Tabernacles, probably. Now, you know what catches my eye with that little coat? I think of Joseph and his coat of many colors. Remember Jacob loved him? You know, you can say good or bad about Jacob's preferential love for Joseph over all the rest of his children. I'm pretty sure he loved them, but it's quite evident that he loved Joseph the most, because Joseph was the first son of the wife out of the four that he had that he loved the most. He fell in love with her right on the spot when he met her the very first time after fleeing from his brother. And I'm making a kind of a comparison here. You got Joseph with his coat of many colors, and you got his mom here, Hannah, with this little coat from year to year, which tells me, did she spend time expanding the coat with her little sewing kit from year to year, or was it a new coat that she made from year to year as he began to grow physically? Then verses 20 to 21, we find Eli's blessing upon the husband and upon his wife. Now knowing the full story, now that Eli has Samuel, knows all the facts, the context behind it all, he then pronounces a blessing. The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went to their own home. Now notice in verse 21, three sons and two daughters. Now what's the point here? Notice Eli's words. Eli said of Samuel, he was lent to the Lord. You know what the principle here is? Beloved, you can never outgive God. They gave one, he gave back five. None of us can write any amount of money. I mean, we can write, there is no check on earth that we can write numbers to outgive God. There is no amount of bills and silver and gold that we can give to heaven that somehow is going to match, if not exceed, the goodness and the bounty of heaven. Notice, they lent one, God gave back five. We will never be able to outgive God, my dear friends. But then we have the sad note. We get more of the commentary that we found earlier in our readings about these nasty sons of Eli. Isn't it amazing? It's almost paradoxical, almost hypocritical. On one end, on one side, Eli is pouring his heart and soul into the young man Samuel. And it's quite evident that he's lost any control over his own sons. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel. Now notice to the depth of evil. We also found out in one of our readings how they would gyp the people, putting in their big fork into the pot. And whenever that choice cut of meat came out, that's what his sons would then gorge themselves. And then when they did bring the offering, that little servant of theirs, that little pimpsqueak that was acting on their behalf, would actually take away from the people what they were bringing ultimately to the Lord to be sacrificed, shortchanging the people. Notice what else they did. They made a brothel of the tabernacle. He says, and how they lay with women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Notice the phrase, the tabernacle of the congregation, the tent, the dwelling place of the glory of God. These two sons made it into a red light district, if you will. And he said unto them, why do you do such things? Okay, that's good. Here's the papa simply verbalizing. For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. So Eli was being informed by the people complaining. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress. So notice, by the behavior of these two boys and what they were doing at the door of the tabernacle, my word, make it into a red light district. You're becoming a stumbling block to God's people. Now, verse 25. If a man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. Okay, if one man wrongs another man, you go before the city fathers and you present your cause, right? Like we find in the law of Moses, the different stipulations. Go before the city fathers, they hear both sides, and then there's a judgment given. But if a man sin against the Lord, like these two guys were doing, who shall entreat for him? Now, the part of verse 25 that causes some people to shudder is the following. Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father. Now, beloved, there are times and seasons when the sinner just continually disobeys, goes against the light, goes against the truth, goes against sound wisdom. Then there comes a time when God simply blinds that heart in response to all of the negativity coming out of that life, coming out of that person, or coming out of that culture, that city, that state, that county, that group of individual, or that professing church. Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father. Why? Because the Lord would kill them. They had bullseyes on their backside. Angels painted the round dot on their back. They were targets of God's judgment. So a time came in the life of these two boys that no matter what daddy was saying, as you can see right here, I mean, the father is confronting them verbally. He's naming sin verbally in front of them. But they paid daddy no mind. Why? They had reached that point of judicial blindness, that no matter who said anything to them, it would have no impact. Why? They were marked men. Heaven has placed its mark on their back. And because God was going to kill them, though they were pumping blood, there was no salvation possible. None. They crossed a line. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor with the Lord and also with men. Hold your place. You get an idea where we're going to go? Luke's Gospel. Turn to Luke's Gospel. Chapter 1. Notice the similarities. Samuel grew in favor with God and man. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 80. And the child grew, referring to John the Baptist, waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. Now turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Now, verse 52, referring to Jesus. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Notice the similarities between John the Baptist, Jesus, and the young child, Samuel. Notice, they grew in favor with God and with man. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.